Our gospel lesson for the day is found in the 20th chapter of Matthew. Two teachings here that are linked: the third prediction of Christ's death, and then the account of the ambitious sons of Zebedee, or the ambition of their mother, I guess it was. Hear the word of God. Now, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priest and the teachers of the law, and they will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. And Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 others heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." And this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text today has these two parts to it. This is the third time in this gospel of Matthew that Jesus has told his disciples that he's going to go up and be done in by the pastors and teachers, in other words, the religious establishment, and delivered over to the government and be executed, which simply did not compute with them at all. The other account is about the ambition of the mother of James and John, maybe James and John too, and then Jesus' response when he redefines greatness. In this new creation that we've been talking about from week to week, that has been inaugurated in the middle of this dominion of darkness, into the middle of this Monday morning world, as we call it, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have been trying to understand, is creating a community of the cross, a community of the new creation, in which Jesus Christ himself is the model. He is called in the writings of Scripture the firstborn of the new creation. And we need to take that seriously. Over in Paul's writings, he will say, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." But all of us who embrace the cross, all of us are debtors to it. All of us who identify with Jesus Christ and his cross then somehow are indebted to Jesus Christ to hear his word and obey it and model our lives after his own. And we're talking about this role that Jesus sets forth here of being servants. That's part of that, and that goes against our grain. Ambition, pride always emerge in any community. It's really a part of this dominion of darkness that people become very aggressive in that. I'm always thankful. I don't know how you are, but I'm always thankful for people who in church history and in my life have modeled Christian living and servant living to me, aren't you? I was trying to think of some. I can think of one great historical model. I always love St. Francis, who in his quest for simplicity and servanthood, the whole reordering of his life in that mode, the time came in his life that he went to Rome, and the then Pope Gregory, who had known Francis for many years, looked at him, and the way he embodied servant living And Gregory, with all of the splendor and the regalia of the Pope, knew that he somehow had missed the point. And the story, which I think is true, is there came a point to the dismay of all of the College of Cardinals when Gregory knelt and kissed Francis' feet because he saw in him the model of what new creation living should be. That's a little removed. I've always been thankful. Betty and I have one of the marvelous young ladies in our life, beautiful child, university student at that university called Duke, by the way. Just this morning I had to mention that. But from a very fine family, medical family, well-born. But when Jesus Christ converted Ruth, he converted her into a servant. And we're always thankful because our children saw Ruth as a model. Beautiful, beautiful girl, with all the charm and grace. But when she came into our house, she came always seeking what she could do to minister to everybody else. Wash dishes, help, do anything. And I've been thankful for that, not just for what it did for me, but for my children having before them model of a servant Christian. Now, as we come to this table today, on this last Sunday, before we begin Passion Week next Sunday, we're reminded once more by this text that our Monday morning world operates on a different set of values than does Christ's new creation. The story here reminds us of how much we and the sons of Zebedee have the same problem. We're accepting the ways of the Monday morning world. We see it as neutral. We see it as the way things are. We see it as a place where if you want to get ahead, you sort of step on others and become ambitious and lord it over others. And that means that you and I have a difficult time seeing ourselves as God's new creation people as an alternative culture. We have a hard time seeing that Jesus Christ calls us to live by a new set of rules, a new way of life. John Stott calls us a Christian counterculture, which is what we are. It also means that while we can celebrate Christ's cross as God's great means of salvation for us, which we do at this table, and we have the cross here in front of us, at the same time we have trouble accepting the cross as God's prophetic no, N-O, to the way this present Monday morning world misses the point of God's creation. And we have a hard time accepting the fact that it is also God's no to our affinity to that world. We have a hard time taking up that cross, I'm saying, and following Jesus Christ, where we deny ourselves and all that misses the point of God's creation and say yes to God's way of doing things. And so the sequence here is, I think, quite deliberate on Matthew's part. Jesus, the third time, tells them he's got to go and be crucified. And then right on the heels of that, the story of the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Last week we talked about God's plan in this new creation of creating a community, us, the church, to demonstrate that new creation, to be a living, breathing, walking in shoe leather bunch of new creation folk. And here we find Jesus dealing with two of the great demons with which Christian leaders wrestle, pride and ambition. Now, you can make a good point for the valid, holy, just ambition that Mama Zebedee had for her two boys. Yeah, sort of like that. You know, Mom wanted her two boys to be up there in whatever it was that Jesus was doing. I've got a good sermon on that, as a matter of fact. Not mine. I just keep it around. I read it by a radio preacher on a mother's ambition. And you can make a good case for that. And yet, I want you to notice here that Jesus doesn't just jump on Mama Zebedee. He doesn't blow her away. It's interesting that the first thing he does is he asks the sons who had to be there with her, "Are you able to drink the cup of suffering that I'm going to drink?" "Oh, sure, right on. We can do that." And then Matthew adds in, the other 10, when they heard this, were indignant. I mean, who do these two guys think they are to think they should beat the right and left hand of Jesus? But then Jesus does the very thing that we've been trying to do with ourselves here for these past few weeks. He makes it a time for gentle teaching. In so many words, he says, James, John, do you remember the dominion of darkness? This world that misses the point? Yeah. He says, in that order of things, in that Monday morning world, those who are the great people, great, are those who are domineering and authoritative. Those who want to be first are the ones who step on other people to get ahead. But in my new creation, it's not so. Under the cross, those who want to be great are those who wait on tables. And those who want to be first are slaves of all the rest. Now note, like me, he says, the Son of Man did not come to be waited upon, but to wait on others and to give his life a ransom for many. So this table that we come to this morning, we come under that cross. And what Jesus is saying here, I want you to get very clearly. We don't really owe other people out there anything. But we owe Jesus, who calls us and who died for the world, we owe him everything. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We are debtors to Jesus in the Monday morning world to live out our lives in that servant role. And with that calling and this biblical teaching, we come to this table. And may God meet with us here by his word and spirit. This is a marvelous table, and we do two things every time we come here as the First Presbyterian family. We first of all want to invite any of you who have never known our Savior to come and find salvation. These simple elements here of grape juice and bread and wine, are the visible symbols of God's saving grace, his broken body and shed blood for us. And in case you're one of those who for any length of time had been putting on accepting him into your life as Lord and Savior, this is a good place to do it. Come and eat and drink and find salvation. The other thing we do is, because this is a table really of healing, is that we pray for each other and for healing. And I'm going to lead you now in a series of bidding prayers where I will invite you to pray and then give you a moment of silence to pray for that cause. And after we have prayed these bidding prayers, and during the singing of our hymn of invitation, if there is a particular infirmity, illness that you need to have prayed for, there is in Scripture a promise that says, if any of you be sick, let him call the elders. Let them anoint you with oil and pray in the name of the Lord, and shall be healed. And we invite you to come, if you will, during that singing of that hymn, for the prayers will have two stations of elders here in front. But now let us pray for healing and for wholeness. Christ's call to himself and to salvation is a call into his grace, which heals our sickness and diseases and brings forgiveness of our sins and leads us to reconciliation and newness. Let us ask God to cleanse us, heal us, forgive us, and make us whole.